Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, June 10th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A Sitka-based barge line hopes to return to serving Southeast by the end of the year. It depends on a shipping industry shuffle where a much larger company is trying to absorb its chief competitor. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Samson Tug and Barge used to do a lot of business with loggers and mills around Southeast Alaska. But as the timber industry shrunk, the line's service area moved farther west. The Sitka-based company now carries cargo to and from Seattle, Prince William Sound, the Kenai Peninsula, Kodiak, King Cove, and Dutch Harbor. The list could expand later this year.
We started in Southeast. We still have our headquarters in Southeast, so why not be in Southeast? It just makes sense.
Corey Baggin is vice president of Samson Tug and Barge.
We've looked at entering the Southeast market over the years, but with two carriers in the region, there really hasn't been room for a third.
That number could shrink later this year. Linden Incorporated, which owns Alaska Marine Lines, is in the process of buying Northland Services Incorporated. The two lines handle the lion's share of cargo shipments to Southeast communities. Samson does some barging to and from Sitka. Baggin says the purchase allows her company to compete in other communities.
Our plans right now are to service Ketchikan, Juneau, Wrangell, Petersburg, all of Prince of Wales Island, and Metlakatla.
Northland's barge line will continue to exist as a Linden subsidiary, but operations will be combined in Southeast towns that both serve. The purchase has to clear a number of hurdles. Among the concerns, the combination could effectively create a monopoly. Linden CEO John Burdick says that's why his corporation is encouraging Samson's Southeast expansion.
There is a regulatory review process, and the state of Alaska wants to ensure that where there's competitive overlap between Linden and Northland, that there's alternative services available.
Burdick says buying Northland expands Linden's service area to western Alaska as well as Hawaii. But he says Linden's Alaska Marine Line subsidiary will not reduce Southeast port calls.
At a minimum, they'll receive equal frequency of service.
In terms of equaling what AML's doing now or what AML plus Northland's doing now?
AML plus Northland.
Burdick expects most Northland employees will either keep their jobs or find new ones with Alaska Marine Lines or Samson Tug and Barge. Baggin says her company will be hiring.
Eventually, we'll probably double our size. Probably have somewhere between 120 and 160 employees.
And will those folks be based in Alaska or a lot of them be out of Seattle?
Nope, most of them will be based in Alaska. We're going to pick up a few more people and we're going to have to increase our warehouse size. We're going to have to increase the amount of space we're taking up for our yard. You know, we'll have to have more trucks and that kind of thing down here in Seattle. But most of those employees will be in Alaska.
Baggin understands her company will compete against a much larger operation. She says Samson will do that by providing personalized customer service.
We're not the big box carrier. We're not going to be the one that says, you better do it at this time, this way. We don't care how you want to do it. We're going to say, hey, what do you need? And we're going to do the best we can to come in and really work for the customers.
Linden and Samson expect the sale to be completed by the end of this year, and both say they'll be ready for a quick transition. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Last month, it was revealed that Arnie Fugelvog of Petersburg has turned lobbyist and launched the Washington State-based Coastal Resource Strategies just weeks after being released from federal prison last fall. He served 5 months after pleading guilty to illegally misreporting the catch of about $100,000 worth of sable fish. His former boss, Alaska Senior Senator Lisa Murkowski, had been largely silent on Fugelvog's new job, but did address the issue while on Kodiak Island last week.
We all know that Arnie has gone through the legal process and has paid essentially the price for his misdoings, and he's now back at work.
Murkowski, who at the time had strong words about feeling betrayed after finding out about Fugelvog's federal indictment the day before it was made public, did acknowledge his skill in the areas of fisheries policy.
He is an individual that I think those who know him recognize that he has a significant understanding of of the fisheries and the research and Alaska's fisheries, and he's going to be working with folks to help them as they seek to advance their priorities.
But companies wishing to advance their priorities in Murkowski's office should consider sending someone other than Fugelvog to lobby her.
We won't be seeing him in our office. We've got a policy that if you have worked for me, that there needs to be a separation between work and any access in terms of lobbying of 2 years. And so that will be in place in our office.
Fugelvog visits as lists clients as four companies that operates catcher processors in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska. They are Aleutian Spray Fisheries, Blue North Fisheries, Fisherman's Finest, and Glacier Fish Company, all based in Seattle. In her book, Anstis, Sitka resident Margene Ragsdale tells the story of a 13-year-old girl named Layla who has just been orphaned in an automobile accident. The story takes a turn towards the fantastical when Layla is called upon by a race of aliens to become their new leader. The book is the product of more than 7 years of active work, but as Ragsdale told KCAW's Ed Ronco, she's known her main character a lot longer.
Layla first started out when I was a teenager as a superhero. My parents were going through a divorce, and I wanted a way to kind of escape that. So I read comics all the time. So she started as a character called Glowstar, actually, and didn't really – she kind of looked this way, but a little bit more fantastical. And then as I started getting older and started thinking, well, you know, superheroes need a backstory – I started making up this whole new race of people, and then other races started coming out too, and then her story just changed and it became more fantastical, and I started doing more research on fantasy and stuff, and it just evolved from there.
Do you remember a moment when you decided this is going to be a book? I'm going in this, I'm committing to this.
2005. I just graduated from college, and I have been telling this story to my husband for years, working it off of him. And when I graduated, he finally looked at me and said, please write it down. I'm tired of hearing about it. Just write it down. And so it took me the first year, because I'm still working, of course, just doing the research for it and getting all my characters. Got this really great book on like 10,000 names from around the world and their meanings, because I really wanted their names not just to be a name, but have a meaning behind it.
Layla is 13.
Yes.
What were you like at 13?
A bookworm, definitely. I was a teacher's pet. Soft-spoken, very shy. Definitely not outgoing. I don't believe I would have been able to do at 13 what she is having to do, and step up as the leader of these people. And, I definitely wouldn't have been able to do what Layla is doing in this book at her age.
You've known this character a long time.
A very long time.
Do you feel like, I mean, it's obviously that Layla does not exist in reality, but does it feel like she does sometimes?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes I've gotten looks as I'm walking down the street, and I'm doing to make the dialogue right and to make it sound like this is real, I will do scenes in my head and do the dialogue out, and people are like looking at me like, I'm sorry, I'm just doing something in my head. Because even though it is fantasy, I like it to be kind of believable.
You've had this character in your head since you were a teenager. You've had this idea in the works, at least in commitment, for 7 years. You are now sitting in front of a copy of your book. What's it like to have it be a physical object now?
To see it in your hand. I mean, I self-published this through Amazon, because I sent my letter out 7-8 different people, editors and publishers, and they told me it wasn't commercial enough.
What does that mean?
Not selling enough. I mean, it's not in vogue right now, is basically what they told me. It doesn't deal with vampires or whatever what seems in vogue right now. So that's what they told me. And I was like, you know what? And I felt crushed. Every letter I got would just make me cry. Because I'm like, is this not good enough? And am I putting all this effort into this book and it's just not good enough? And I said, no, I believe in this book. I really do. And I got a professional editor to edit it. I just don't imagine seeing it in your hand and how heavy. I mean, it's hard to describe the feeling of it actually being out there and kids can enjoy it. And that was one of my main reasons for writing it, is to get kids to want to read. And when I've got kids coming up to me that, because I've taught them and I know they don't really like to read, come up to me and say, when is your book coming out? I want to read it so bad. It makes me feel so good that I'm getting them to open up a book and want to read.
That's Sitka resident Marjean Ragsdale talking about her new self-published book, Anstis. It's available for sale at Old Harbor Books or online. The next statewide election is over a year away, but some candidates are already lining up for the top races on the ballot, hoping to build name recognition and campaign accounts that could help boost their chances. The first candidates have announced for U.S. Senate, U.S. House, Governor, and Lieutenant Governor. More announcements are expected in the weeks and months ahead. Longtime political watcher Stephen Haycock says it's a bit unusual to have so many candidates announce early. He says that speaks in part to interest in statewide issues like the oil tax cut. But he says there's interest, too, in knowing whether U.S. Senator Mark Begich is vulnerable. Republicans nationally intend to focus on Begich's Senate seat as the party seeks to gain control of the chamber. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.